It has been a joy for me to visit with you these few days. I have had such a long association with this congregation, and you have been involved in my labors in India for a lot of years. But I came up to North Alabama to preach many times while I was serving as the head of the history department at UAB. And so it's always wonderful at this point to see my old friends and to see many of you aging well and to see this wonderful congregation aging well. So I'm delighted to have had the opportunity to be with you and to be a part of this. And let's see, do I have the proper clicker here? Let me refresh my okay. I'm delighted to have participated in this series of lessons with you. I tell you what I ended up deciding to do was just do some really fundamental, foundational ideas that have guided me all through my life and have so much determined the directions that I took. And they were principles that I committed myself to when I was very young, like these folks up here on the front row. All of us face different problems and issues and more different pathways that we follow through life. But there are certain principles that have to guide us, and no matter where we go or whatever we come into touch with, they are the things that keep us going in the path that God would have us to go. So I'm going to follow that this evening. I've talked with you a couple of times about the importance of understanding that what God expects out of us is to fear Him and to keep His commandments. I think a principle that all of us should understand that has to be the foundation and basis for our life before that is what it means to commit ourselves to believing in God and to live by faith. Now, of course, one of the great chapters in the New Testament is this chapter in Romans, the 11th chapter, or Hebrews, rather, the 11th chapter, in which we are told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that is to say that all you do in life, if you're going to be a Christian, that all that you do will have to be rooted in a firm belief in God and in His creation and in His Word. So I want to suggest to you what this evening, what it means to have faith in God, and how that will form the basis for all that you do in life. All wisdom is located in what we believe. In the second verse of the 11th chapter, we read, "For the elders, by it the elders obtain a good report." I will tell you what will make us pleasing to God. And that is if we understand what it means to believe in God. And I'm going to kind of go through a list of things that I want to suggest to you this evening you will do if you genuinely have the kind of faith that God expects us to have. Of course, I'll tell you, everything you do in life depends on what you believe. How you behave yourself in every avenue of life depends on what you think is true. And faith depends on evidence. We don't believe in God just because we want to believe in something. It is based on evidence, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. To put your trust in God and say that is what I'm going to base my life on, is this trust in Him and belief in Him. You don't do that without some kind of reason. But actually, everything you do in life, you do because you believe something is true. In Romans, the first chapter in verse 19, we are told that by our very constitution as human beings, we should know that there is something that we should try to learn and that we should try to follow. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Now, what that passage tells us is that when you look around at the universe, it is evident that there is something out there. And this passage in Romans says that God made us so that we could recognize and look at the world and see that there was some power there. And that what that should lead us to is it should lead us to God. But that what people do is people all through the ages have tried to find other meanings for that and have lost their way as a result. I want to show you quickly an article that I read a few years ago about creation and whether to believe in God, whether it's a reasonable thing to say I'm going to put my trust in God and live my life believing in that. There was an article that I read back in 2002 in the New York Times. And the title of it was, So God is Really in the Details. It struck me as something that I would like to read. I always, at this point, say I have to apologize. I actually do read the New York Times. And I don't generally like it at all. But at any rate, this article kind of fascinated me. And so I followed up to see what the story was. And the story was this. It told about a conference that was held at Yale University by the leading scholars, theologians of the day. And one of the speakers was an Oxford professor named Richard Swinburne. I've met him two or three times. And so it was this conference then with a group of religion scholars. This guy was from Oxford, and they were meeting at Yale. And I just have to tell you, off the top of my head, I was not very confident that I would read anything I'd like of a conference that was led by an Oxford professor at Yale and reported on in the New York Times. That's not a list of things that's likely to be very friendly to what I believed. But what the article said is that this professor at Oxford had decided that he was going to try to find whether evidence should persuade us that there was some creator of the universe, whether it made sense to believe that there was a God. And what he did, I want to just show you this quickly, although it's not really that important, but it's kind of interesting. He had been studying for 25 years. to determine whether it was a reasonable thing to believe that the universe was created by God. And he had collected just many volumes of information and applied it to a system of mathematical thought that's known as the Bayesian theory. Now, it's a probability theory. It's a mathematical theory in which you take facts and stack them up and try to decide what's true, what you can gather and believe out of these facts. It's a mathematical theory that's used to forecast insurance rates. I preached a sermon in Jacksonville years ago, and one of our young men is a very well-placed person in one of the big insurance companies, and he uses this mathematical formula to determine whether what's likely to be true about what's going to happen. So it's used by insurance. It's used to predict economics and consumer spending. It's used by professional gamblers. Actually, when I started reading this article, I'd never heard of this theory, so I went and typed it up and Googled it to see what the Bayesian theory was. And what kept popping up was casinos, and because gamblers use it. Actually, some of those things, I had a hard time getting out of them. Once I got in there in the casino, they tried to trap me and make me stay, and I think I finally won $1,000 before I got out. Only kidding, folks. But at any rate, here it is. Yeah, I'm sure you recognize it now. So he applied this to, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He said, how do you answer that? And what this article said is that they determined, using the Bayesian theory, that it was more probable to believe in God and a created universe than to not believe in it. So let me tell you, young folks, when you look at your life, what Hebrews 11 tells us is that you need to look at the world around you. And if you're going to have faith in God, what you will see is the evidence that God has given us to believe in Him. And I just have to tell you, there are only a limited number of ways that you can live your life. I mean, generally speaking, people will say there's three choices. You can think about who you are and where you're going, and they're just three choices that you can answer that with. One, you can believe in God, theism. Or two, you can say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Or some people will tell you they're an agnostic. Actually, they're just two ways that you can approach the question of, I'm here and there's a great universe out there, and so what does that mean? How can I explain that? And if someone ever tells you, well, I'm agnostic, I don't know. When somebody tells me, well, you know, I just don't know about whether there's a God or not. Well, I know you don't know. Lots of times people will tell me, well, I can't decide about whether there's some creator or not. Well, none of us know. What we do is we believe. So, but I will tell you, everybody in the world lives their life as if something's true. And so what you have to decide is whether faith in God makes sense for me to build my life on. Well, anyway, the end of that story is that he applied this mathematical theory and said if you used any sense whatsoever and looked at the universe, that the probability that God created it was 97%. And 3% that it was not created by God. So if you want to make a good choice, where it starts is, by faith we know that God exists. And that is what all of us, if we're going to be Christians, have to live our life on. And what you do, everything you do subsequently in life will depend on the choice that you make about that. Do you choose to believe that God created the universe? In Acts 17th chapter, there's this wonderful confrontation on that very subject. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens and stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar that was with the inscription to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he created the heavens and the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, but seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and all things." Now that's a fundamental message that a Christian preaches. That I want to tell you that when you look around and what you see, it is created, and we are determined to try to find and follow the Creator, God. Okay. Let me pass on through now. I want to look through this 11th chapter of Hebrews with you and tell you what it means to us to believe in God. If you have a true trust in God and belief in him, I will tell you what it will do for you. It'll change your whole life. And it's the only thing that will give direction to your life that'll take you through the good times and bad times that life offers. But if you waver from your commitment of faith, then your behavior will be different. And if your behavior is what God would have you to be, it has to be based on this unbending commitment to believe in him. In verse 8 of Hebrews 11, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, and he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." I'll tell you the first thing about what faith will do for you. If you go on down and read beginning verse 13, he says, Abraham, when God told him to leave his home and he'd show him a place that he meant to take him, Abraham went. He didn't know where he was going. And beginning in verse 13, he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." He said everybody that went with him went not knowing where he was going. I'll tell you something about your life, you young folks. You'll find lots of times in life where you don't know what to do. You don't know what is best. And when it seems hard to just stay within the boundaries of what God has told us to do. And I'll tell you, the only thing that'll sustain you in doing that is if you know what it means to believe in God. If you believe in God, then you say, "I'm going to follow him and do what he tells me to do when I can see it and when I can't see it. And when I understand why we need to do this and when I don't understand why we need to do this." So that's what faith will have to serve in your life. If you trust in God, then you do what God says, whether you can understand where that's leading you or not. And a second kind of lesson that we can read in this chapter, in verse 11, we read about, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to receive conceived seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know that story, that Sarah was told by God that she was going to have a child when she couldn't have a child. And actually, in Romans, the fourth chapter, we're given Abraham's same reaction to that when he was told that he was going to have the child of promise, and he didn't see how that could be true. I'll tell you something about being a Christian. Sometimes you can read God's directions and you can see where he's taking you. Sometimes you read God's directions and you can't see where he's taking you. And sometimes you can read what God tells you to do and it will seem like that's wrong. It can't be true. So when the time comes in your life that you're confronted with what God tells us to do and you can't understand it, and even when you read something that God tells us to do and you don't see how that could be possible, and what carries us through that is that we've made a commitment to put our trust in God and to believe in him. And if you believe in God, you do what he says when you understand it. You do what he says when you don't see where he's leading you. And you believe in God when you read something that looks like it shouldn't be true. By faith, Abraham, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. I'll tell you, if you base your life on genuine Bible faith and say, I'm committed to believing in God and what God has told me to do, then he says you need to do it when you understand it. You need to do it when you don't understand it. And you need to do it when God tells you something that's wrong. Well, now, not exactly wrong, but when he tells you to do something that looks like you just ought not to do it. You ever had somebody tell you when you're talking about something that the scriptures teach, and they'll say, well, I just don't believe that. If that's who God is and that's what God says, then I'm just not going to believe in God. Then that's your problem. You don't have trust and faith in God. And what this story about Abraham teaches us, it teaches us what it means to be obedient to God. It means you obey him when you understand it, and you obey him when you don't understand it, and when you obey him when it seems like he's telling you to do something that you ought not to do. So what? Abraham had faith in God and says, well, I trust in him, and I believe what God has told me, and so I'm going to follow him no matter where it takes me. And no matter what I have to do, because my faith is in him and not in my understanding. And what Abraham said, I'm going to do what God said, and if I kill my son and sacrifice him, which of course he doesn't sacrifice him, God has a way out. But he meant to, and he did it because God told him to do it. And God served his purpose, and he didn't kill his son, of course. All right, so what faith does is it solves the problem of obedience. I don't have to worry about everything I read in God's instructions and say, well, I wonder if this is really what I ought to be doing. I do it. And that's what you need to do. If you build your life on a genuine biblical faith, you'll obey him when you understand it. You'll obey him when you don't see where he's taking you. And you'll obey him even if it seems that that's not the way I would do it. All right, I want to tell you now just quickly a couple of things that kind of faith will do for you. I've always loved verse 3 of Hebrews 11. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. I get pretty fascinated sometimes by just trying to understand the nature of the universe, which is quite impossible. But I'll tell you one thing. You can go to NASA's website, and you will see some fantastic things of how the world was created. And I don't really have any idea. When I first started teaching years ago, the university where I was teaching invited the world's greatest astronomer to campus to lecture. He's an old man, taught at Harvard, Dr. Arlo Shapley. And he was the author of the Big Bang Theory of where the universe came from. That everything had been a little ball. Actually, the theory is that the whole universe, which is now going out, and there's just trillions and zillions of stars out there, but it started off just as one ball. And that was a heavy ball because it was everything that exists. And so he was the fellow that was the authority on it. And the president at the university, he liked me, and so he asked me to escort him around all day, and I did. And we talked about where the universe came from. And he told me his theory, and he told me several other theories, and he said, you know, some people believe the Bible. He said that night when he lectured, because I told him that's what I thought. But when he lectured that night, I tell you what went through my mind. He told about all of these theories, and I said to myself, here was this brilliant, really nice old man, and he has studied all his life where the world came from. And he doesn't know. And I know. Isn't that something? I will tell you, if you put your trust in God and have faith in God, it'll make you smart. You will know the answer to all of the difficult questions that human beings spend their whole lives wondering about and studying about, and they don't know. But if you say, I'm going to put my trust in God and believe in the truth that we can find in his word, then you will have the knowledge that all human beings seek. And finally, this evening, I will tell you, if you understand what it means to believe in God, and you put your faith and trust in the evidence that he's given us, and then study his word and say, I want to know it, I want to do it, I'm on this journey of life, and I don't know where I'm going, but I want to follow what God's directions are, then he says you will have the answer to all problems. And the wonderful closing passage in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's read just a little, beginning in verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would tell me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, women received their dead, raised to life again. Well, most of you know that passage. It's a wonderful passage about what people have suffered and what people have done. And the only way I know to tell you how to get through life with confidence and with comfort is to say, you know, whatever suffering you may go through in your lifetime will probably be slight compared to what people have done in the past. People have suffered great things. And if you raise the question, well, how can I get through this? Can I manage and make it through the difficulties of life? And the answer is there's only one way you'll do that, and that is if you know whom you believed and you're persuaded that he is the God that made us and that created the universe, then it solves the problem of what you do, how you live, and how you overcome difficulty. So you get your foundation straight, young folks, and start at the starting place and just say, am I going to make my commitment to be truthful and loyal to God and follow him wherever he takes me and trust his word, whatever other people say? Then you'll have the foundation upon which to build a godly life that'll be pleasing to him. And you'll follow in the train of the many people that we can read about in the scriptures who suffered and had difficulties and overcame because they had faith in God. If you're in the audience this evening and you would come and put your trust in God, I will tell you that it's a way of life that will be strong, give you courage, give you meaning, giving you a place to find conviction, and it will make you wise in the way you live your life. If you're here and you've never have obeyed the first principles of the gospel of Christ, what you need to do is you need to read what the instructions God has given to us in order to become his children, and then follow his instructions with a faith that won't waver, but will follow the things that he tells us to do. If you're here, you never have confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, repented, been baptized for the remission of your sins, as the scriptures teach us to do, we'd urge you to come and do that while we stand, while we sing.